We are in Galatians chapter 5. We are wrapping up this last aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. So if you would turn there with me, please. The title of today's message is Self-Control. Is it possible? Self-control, is it possible? As I was thinking of this message, it kind of dates myself here a little bit, but it's a song from my childhood that came to mind from The Music Machine. I don't know how many of you are familiar with The Music Machine. I see some hands. That's good. A little musical about kids learning life lessons, and you put something in it, and a song comes out. That's The Music Machine. And so they're throwing different things into this machine, and out comes songs, one of which, again, as I was thinking of this message, was about self-control. And it goes like this. I'm not going to sing it for you. Don't worry. It says this, though. Once I had a knot in my shoe, and it would not come loose. I tried and tried and pried and pried, but it would not come loose. So I got so mad I kicked the door and stubbed my little toe. Oh, if only I had learned a little bit of self-control. And then the chorus kicks in, which is kind of what ran through my brain. Self-control is just controlling myself. It's listening to my heart and doing what is smart. Self-control is the very best way to go, so I think that I'll control myself. This is a song that reminds us, and we'll see a little bit actually in aspects of this song, of the need for self-control. You know, whether it's a knot in our shoe that we just act out in frustration on, or it's anything else, we are in need of self-control. So let's read the Word of God here together, and then we will get into this aspect of what the Bible has to say about self-control. Beginning in verse 22 of Galatians chapter 5, it says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." It's very interesting how God in His Word concludes this list of the fruit of the Spirit. As He puts this word, temperance, or self-control, at the very end of this list, it starts with the word love. Well, love, again, is this umbrella that we talked about that first week that covers virtually every aspect of the rest of the fruit of the Spirit that's listed. But self-control is something that gets very specific in our lives. As we were preparing for Bible study NCL on Friday, I was talking to Sandra and said, you know, as God's Word does, it starts with me this week as I was preparing this message and looking at myself to say, all right, Doug, how is this working out for you in your life in this area? So this word temperance or this word self-control, as it's used throughout Scripture, it means this. The virtue of one who masters his desires and passions, especially his sensual appetites. I'm going to repeat that one more time so that we can understand what it is that we're talking about when it comes to self-control or temperance in our lives. It is the virtue of one who masters his desires and passions, especially his sensual appetites. It's very interesting that God puts this at the last aspect of the fruit of the Spirit because, as we'll get to here in just a minute, at the end of verse 24, it tells us those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So it's speaking directly to this last aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. that these sensual appetites or this passion and desire that we have in our lives needs to be mastered, needs to be controlled. In a world that seems out of control, we as Christians, we as believers are called to have self-control. There are aspects, if you read the headlines of the newspaper, or you're on the internet and you're looking for the different headlines that pop up, virtually every one of them has to do with some aspect of someone who did not exercise self-control. It's all over the place. Our families and our churches, our communities, they need people who know how to have self-control. There is a desperate need in our lives, in our culture today. We're suffering from a lack of self-control. We have husbands and we have fathers. We have single men who are not controlling their sensual appetites. There's a multi-billion-dollar industry in the world because primarily men do not have self-control. They have not mastered their passions and their desires, especially when it comes to the sensual appetites. I know it's Mother's Day, but women, ladies, I can't let you off the hook here as well. In our lives, women are not exempt from this. Again, it's not just, there are some who are in the area of sexual immorality. This takes place as well. There's also aspects where we don't control ourselves when it comes to shopping or entertainment. There are areas of men and women's lives where food is something that we do not control. It's a passion. It's a desire. It's a sensual appetite that we have. And God has called us to have self-control. When it comes to money or power in our lives, these are desires that we might have. And we do not control them. Any other addiction that we may find ourselves controlled by in our lives is what this aspect of the fruit of the Spirit applies to. We like to pinpoint and highlight certain addictions without realizing that every one of us is prone to be addicted to something. Again, it can be entertainment. It can be a phone. It can be, you know, pick your thing, and whatever it is that you are desiring or have a passion about, it needs to be controlled. Natalie gave me permission, just so that we know again on Mother's Day, that I'm not taking my wife and throwing her under the bus. That would be a very unwise move to make on any day, particularly Mother's Day. But she said, you can share this, Doug. And so this is something that she recognized within herself when it came to the area of shopping. And I would say, I'll testify this, she is a frugal lady, very frugal lady. But sometimes even that can feel good. You're getting deals here and there in the midst of the frugality, and we've realized how much we've saved as we've spent. So she, within herself, saw this need to say, I need to control this. I need to exercise what God has given me the ability to do. And so for a year, she did not shop for anything. It was a hard year to eat that year, but no, I'm just kidding. We got food in the house, but as far as the extra stuff, clothes and other things, she said, I need to take a year and just fast from this. Again, there are areas in our lives that are necessary for us to live life. You know, food is a necessary thing. It's necessary for us to have clothing. It's necessary for other things in our lives. But when we find ourselves beginning to be controlled by that, a fast is in order, a time for us to step back and allow God to bring that proper perspective. There are other things that we should have no place in our lives whatsoever. And so I want to make sure that we're understanding this properly, that there are things that we should just be abstaining from altogether, fleeing from actually. And then there are other things that we need to learn how to have that self-control. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28 says this, "A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls." Actually, in the original language, it doesn't even use the word "like." It says, "A man is a city." It's not even a comparison. It takes our lives and says, our life is a city. And for any Jewish reader that's listening to this verse, the most prominent city they can think of is that of Jerusalem. And so they would associate their life with being a place where God, by His mercy and grace, has chosen to dwell and appointed as a holy city. And yet, when we don't have self-control in our lives, it's like we've been broken into and there are no walls to protect us from what is coming at us. Do we look around at our culture and see a lot of cities that have been broken into and left without walls today? Do I look in the mirror and see a reflection of that in my own life? We need to ask ourselves these questions and understand, again, that our families and our churches, our communities need people who have this self-control in our lives. And in certain areas, we should have nothing to do with these things. In other areas, it needs to be with temperance, with self-control, striving for that mastery over our desires and our passions. Our temptation sometimes is that it's an either all or a nothing thing. I say this in this way. In the area of self-control or temperance, we like to categorize our lives as having either good days or bad days. I don't know, maybe you can't relate to this, but sometimes when we are having a bad day, as soon as I have given in to something, I say, forget it. Today's a bad day. I'm just going all in. I've already lost today. So we kind of go all or nothing on this instead of realizing that God has given us the ability not to have self-control or temperance on a day-to-day basis, but on a moment-by-moment basis. We shouldn't just be throwing in the towel and giving in to whatever is controlling us in the moment just because we may have stumbled for that moment. We must remember that God is not only in the construction business, making us more and more like Christ as we walk out the fruit of the Spirit, but He is in the reconstruction business or the restoration business. We were talking about that on Wednesday night with Psalm 23. He restores my soul. That's a good word, that word restore. Reconstruction. So if I've given in to this in this moment, rather than me just throwing the towel and saying, all right, let me jump on the slippery slide here and just roll down, I need to call out to God and say, God, help me reconstruct, restore, restore my soul, restore this city, make the walls what they ought to be so that I can be protected by Your Holy Spirit here. Ephesians 2 gives us this example of even thinking things in a construction sense. It says, "You're therefore now no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God." Again, God has given us the privilege at Wall Street to be members of the household of God, to be a church family. "Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." God in the Spirit, a dwelling place as we carry out the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, with Jesus Christ being that chief cornerstone on the walls of our lives as we are that city. We have Jesus Christ as our chief cornerstone. The only way for us to have self-control is to relinquish control. Sounds crazy, but we just sang about it this morning. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me. That's a song of, intentionally we sang it this morning, it's a song of surrender. It's a song of relinquishing control. And then discovering within that, that God gives us self-control. Again, that word self sometimes becomes, rightly so, something that we do look at ourselves about and get focused upon. As Nell and I were talking this week, though, there is a difference even on the physiological aspect of who, how God has created us in our brain. That the part of our brain that would be determined, that willpower part of our brain, is a very small part of the brain. Small part of how we think. So if we're trying to just do this and just will ourselves into this, we only have a little small part of our physiological brain working in our favor. The larger part of the brain that can control these things is when it becomes a habit, when it becomes a part of our character. And those things cannot happen in a spiritual sense without us relinquishing control and saying, even on a physiological level, the odds are stacked way against me. But on a spiritual level, I have a nature within me that desires and craves these things. And God wants us to move to that side where there are habits being formed. There is character being established within us that gives us that self-control that we need. Galatians chapter 5, earlier in the chapter, tells us when we walk by the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires. Again, mastering these desires and passions. But when we're led by the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. If that's not an indictment on ourselves. The things that we want to do are, again, those things that our flesh desires, the things that our sinful nature, the things that even our own self-will would desire, as we'll get to in a moment as well. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. That's where God wants us to be. We've relinquished control and said, Spirit, I want you to fill me. I want you to lead me. I cannot do this with my own willpower. When we try to maintain control in our lives, we create a mess. A lot of times people will think, well, I can maintain. I'm doing all right. I'm maintaining. I've had people ask, how are you doing? I'm maintaining. Well, maintaining isn't always a good place to be. Especially, again, when we're aware of our flesh and what it does. Again, going back to early part of chapter 5 here, that leads us to many descriptions. Verses 19 through 21 and then 26 shows these different things firing off that show what a lack of self-control looks like. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Going on to 26, being conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. These are all, you know, as the fruit of the Spirit has different facets, these are all facets of what happens when we do not have self-control in our lives. These are the things that become a part of the reality of our day-to-day life when we're trying to just maintain and we haven't relinquished control to God. James chapter 1 makes it clear that this isn't God causing this in our lives. It starts with us, telling us that when we're tempted, no one should say, God, you're the one tempting me here. You're the one setting me up here. God cannot be tempted with evil, nor does He tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is lured or and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it conceives, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. That's the final conclusion of the mess that our lives can become when we try to maintain on our own, is that it leads to death. Physical and spiritual death. When we have Spirit-led control of ourselves, then we live in a fruitful way. Good fruit. These other things are the aspects of the flesh, and they are far from good fruit. Again, it's a mess, but when we are led by the Spirit of God, then those, again, quote-unquote good days that I talked about earlier, when you're having a good day or bad day, those are days that we know that we are walking rightly with God, when we can give thanks to God for the victory that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that I can't control this in and of myself. Paul does this whole kind of internal battle in Romans 7, where it's the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, the things I do. It's kind of this crazy way that we can think sometimes, like, what is going on inside of me? But at the end of that, he says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is how we have self-control. It's because of the victory that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good day when we're led by the Spirit, when we're following Jesus. We deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. As we become more and more like Jesus, self-control should become more and more evident in our lives. And it starts kind of on a more visible scale in what we think and maybe what we say. I was reminded of this when we were on the couples retreat. This gentleman, Don, who was teaching, he went through a whole series and talked about, let the words of my mouth. Boy, was that convicting. Let the words of my mouth. And he talked about, I mean, it was Scripture after Scripture after Scripture that talks about what the Bible has to say, because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what I think and what my heart is stirring, then I will speak. Proverbs, a couple of these that he mentioned, Proverbs 12, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Like a sword being thrust into us when somebody is using rash words. Having self-control. Again, James deals with the tongue and the control that we need to have. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. We can speak words of life to one another, or we can speak words that bring death, bring destruction. Luke chapter 6 talks about it in this way. There's trees. A good tree bears good fruit. A bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree can't bear bad fruit. A bad tree can't bear good fruit. And then he concludes it this way. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. We want to be people who have self-control over the words that come out of our mouths, and it starts in our hearts. It starts in our minds, because that's out of the overflow or the abundance of our heart is where our mouth speaks. And then we dial it in again a little bit more. It's in what we do and why we do it. Sometimes some people are like, oh no, it's just in what I do. As long as I'm doing good things, then it's all good. Well, there are plenty of religions in the world that are based on that teaching. But it's fake fruit. It's not genuine. We want genuine fruit. And so it's in what we do and in why we do it. Hebrews chapter 4 says this, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God wants us to have self-control in what we do He wants us to, through the Holy Spirit, have mastery over those passions and those desires within us. And as we do that, God wants to continue to work in our hearts that the reason why I'm doing this isn't to look good. I was telling Natalie earlier this week as well, I used to do a lot of things to please people. I was a bad people pleaser. But it was part of it because I wanted people to think good things about me. The other part of it was I wanted to look good in other people's eyes. So that all looked good, or maybe, I don't know, I was a mess. But God brought me to the point that it's a matter of discerning what should I be doing right here. I shouldn't be rescuing every person out of every bad situation they're in, because that's Jesus. That's Jesus' role. And yes, we are to be a body that does good things, that controls how we do them with discernment. But we should not be doing things with the motive of just looking good or just trying to please people. It should be as the Spirit is leading us and as we are exercising self-control in our lives, that the Holy Spirit is put on display, that Jesus is seen as we're doing what it is that God has called us to do. That we become more and more like Jesus Christ, this aspect of self-control in what we think, in what we speak, in what we do, and then letting God continue to work on why we are doing the things that we're doing, that we would have control even in our motives for doing things. So as we see this, again, concluding word, self-control, temperance, at the end of this list of the fruit of the Spirit, we should ask ourselves, what area in my life needs more self-control? We went through that list earlier. Are there sensual desires that I have just let get out of control? Are there passions that I have that should be completely done away with? I should be abstaining from those things, fleeing from them. Are there other areas in life where I have to do it, but I need to have self-control? I need to have temperance in how I do these things. Have I relinquished control so that I can understand what being Spirit-led really means? Or am I still trying to exercise this little part of my brain that just says, I can do this. If I just determine myself enough, I can do this. It may work for a little while, but you will find yourself in the long run, defeated. It has to be something that is moved by the power of God into that area of character, the area of habit. Finally, is there someone in my life that I need to ask to be a loving accountability in the area of self-control? It helps. When we know there's someone in our life that we're going to be asking to be loving accountability to us, that will help us. We are a part of the household of faith. We're a part of the body of Christ together. We are to lean into each other and lovingly help one another grow as we desire to look more like Christ and be led by the Spirit in self-control. Self-control, is it possible? Yes. By the grace of God, it is possible. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You that You've given us in Your mercy and Your grace, the ability to be able to take these passions and desires, some of which we should have nothing to do with, other things that we just need to learn, self-control in our lives. I pray that You would give us wisdom, give us humility. If we need to ask someone to help keep us walking rightly before You, that we would not be so prideful as to think, I can do this. Or, I don't even want anybody to know about this. So I'm not going to share this with somebody and ask them because I'm just ashamed. May that shame or pride not keep us from walking in love with one another and in obedience to You. May it be the desire of our hearts as we grow in this area that we would have this closer walk with You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.